Welcome to an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Paul Enos, filling in for Sam Shad today. We are going to be talking to Dagny Stapleton, who is the executive director of the Nevada Association of Counties, plus a Trump-tastic pundit panel with Joel Derby, Eric Kurtzig, and Delia Gibson. That's next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Dear Nevada,
there's a kidnapping underway.
We're taking your Senate seat in California.
Liberals in California have hijacked our Senate race. Put $1.9 million into Jackie Rosen's campaign.
Vote for Jackie Rosen or else.
California wants Jackie Rosen because Jackie Rosen votes like Pelosi 90% of the time.
Jackie Rosen.
Trillions in taxes, job-killing regulations. Don't let California kidnap your Senate seat. Vote against
Jackie Rosen.
NRSC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Paul Enos, here today with Dagny Stapleton. Dagny is the executive director of the Nevada Association of Counties, better known as NACO. Dagny, thanks for coming today.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. So let's tell our folks what NACO is, because you know, I don't even know how many people in Nevada know that we have, you know, 17 different counties, even though Carson City, yeah, maybe.
I'm glad you know 17. Yeah, Nevada has 17 counties. That includes Carson City, which is a consolidated city county. And NACO, the Association of Counties, is a statewide association for all the counties. So all the counties are our members. So our board is made up of one, sometimes two county commissioners from each of our counties.
How many people on the board?
Well, it fluctuates, but about 21, 22.
And do you have a different weight depending on what, I mean, just Clark County, since they are, you know, 70, 65, 70% right. of the population, or they have more than one? Does Washoe, I mean, does it work like that?
No, not necessarily. Every county gets one representative. However, our executive committee, our president, vice president, they can bring a second person onto our board, as well as our national association representatives. So right now we do have two members from Clark County and two members from Washoe County. And if we don't end up with a member from Washoe or Clark on our executive committee, we have a bylaw that ensures both of those urban counties can be on our core executive committee.
Okay. So I mean, you are, you know, it is a different organization in the fact that you got, you know, of course, Washoe and Clark County, you know, mm-hmm. are two urban counties. Nevada is the most urbanized state in America. 90% of our population, mm-hmm. you know, is in those two population centers, and then the rest mostly rural. So, you know, do you find it difficult to come together sometimes on issues, or are there issues that, you know, are kind of similar across every jurisdiction?
That's a great question. A lot of people ask me that because we have a lot of rural commissioners, some urban. How does that all work? So the mission of NACO is to be sort of a forum for collaboration amongst counties and to support counties on common issues and, of course, good governance. And so many people are surprised to hear that our board works on consensus, and counties, by their nature, have so many challenges and do so many things that our members actually have more in common than they have that's different. And that goes for our most rural county and our most urban county. They all are mandated to do the same things, provide the same services, and so have a whole lot to talk about, a whole lot of challenges that they face together, and there's a ton of commonalities. So they get along pretty well, which is nice.
At that, because of course, like a Lincoln County is going to have, you know, much different issues than a Washoe or a Clark. So, I mean, you know, what are those issues that, you know, do have commonality between all 17?
Right. So counties do all sorts of stuff across the board. So counties pave over 60% of the roads in our state. They provide a lot of the infrastructure that we depend on, water systems, sewer systems. In the rurals, gravel pits, dumps.
All the things that people don't think about, but, you know, are essential.
More.
And if it doesn't work, you know, there's a problem. But usually, you know, if it's working pretty well, people kind of,
Right. So the list goes on to things that people really don't think of, like our justice and district courts, our county courts. A lot of our justice system in Nevada is county. So our public defenders, our district attorneys, a lot of human services, senior services, transportation for those most in need in the majority of our counties. Counties are actually a really large contributor to our state's Medicaid program. So those federal dollars that come from Washington, D.C., that state match that we're required to give, a lot of that's provided by the counties. Counties conduct our elections, pay for and conduct our elections. Of course, public safety is a huge thing that counties do, EMS, sheriff and police. And fire. So across the board, counties do a ton of stuff. And being able to provide all those services, of course, with limited resources, that's where our members come together in terms of the challenges of doing that.
So something I remember back in high school, it may have even been the first time I voted, you know, in an election. I think in 1994, there was a state initiative against unfunded mandates. And that was supposed to, you know, kind of take care of that problem where you can have a state unfunded mandate going to the county. Do we still have those issues today?
We do. It's probably one of the number one issues for counties because our revenue sources are limited, and yet we're tasked with doing so much. So, yeah, an unfunded mandate is when the state or even federal government mandates that counties provide a service or increases the cost share for counties to provide a service without the associated dollars to pay for that. One of our neighboring states actually has a provision in their constitution.
Which neighboring one? Then we know if it's a good one or a bad one.
It's California, that's why I said one of our neighboring
man.
States. However, this is a great sort of local control and deference to local authority policy, and it's that if there's a increased mandate on a local government, that there has got to be funding that goes along with that. So that's a huge issue in Nevada for our counties. A lot of services were pushed down to counties during the recession. Counties are still striving to make sure they're doing all those and doing a good job. And so that's something that we work hard at the legislature on, and where, you know, there's always some tension between the state and the counties on those services that we partner on.
I know, and I mean, you and I have worked on some of those issues,
we have.
You know, before, and you do have, you know, you really do have that tension. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of those issues and talk about the financial health of, you know, our 17 counties here.
Okay.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers.
Here's Nevada constitutional law scholar Ian Bartram.
I studied question 3 carefully. 3 would lock electricity deregulation into our state constitution. This is a terrible idea. Locking deregulation in our constitution would put a huge legal roadblock in the way of fixing problems deregulation creates, like the soaring electric rates and rolling blackouts deregulation caused in other states. I urge no on 3 to stop this risky and costly constitutional amendment.
At first, I thought we were in love, but then the abuse started. The worst literally almost killed me. When charges were pressed, I had no idea how confusing the legal process could be. But having equal rights to my abuser would have helped me in my understanding of what was happening in my case.
It's a story that happens too often in Nevada, but we can fix it. Question 1 will ensure crime victims are informed, giving victims the right to notification and a voice in the process. Crime victims deserve equal rights. Vote yes on question 1.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here with Dagny Stapleton, the executive director for NACO, the Nevada Association of Counties. And Dagny, I want to give, you know, you and I talked a little about this before the show started. I want to give some props to your national association. They have some of the best data I have seen on counties and on the economics that are driving the counties. I mean, I love the county that we're in right now here, Washoe County. You know, to be able to see how big trucking was and logistics was and courier services was makes my job as, you know, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association easier to show people, you know, what they do. But those are phenomenal numbers that you guys have and kind of that support from the national organization.
Thank you. Yeah, they do a great job. We depend on them for a lot of things. They lobby for the interests of counties on Capitol Hill, which is really important to counties in Nevada. So great.
You know, we're talking about unfunded mandates and some of the things that the state does, you know, push the counties to do, or the feds do push down to the counties. One of the biggest revenue sources for counties, local governments, is property tax. And, you know, we hear all the time. I mean, it's, you know, we've heard candidate for governor and county commissioner Steve Sisolak talking about property taxes and how that's something that we need to fix, we need to take a look at. So what is what is that main revenue source that really is, you know, providing counties with the funds they need?
Right, so county revenues are what allow us to provide the services that are so important to Nevada communities and that folks rely on. And so, yeah, one of the biggest revenues that counties depend on is our property tax revenues. That, along with C-tax, which includes sales tax, for most of our counties, that's the top one or two sources of revenue for them. So,
and C-tax
C-tax includes sales tax.
Yeah, it's,
and then
consolidated,
it's tax.
It's like
formula.
What? It's sales tax. It's, I think, you know, even excise taxes, cigarette taxes, and I mean, some of those things are all put into it. So, I mean, that's really that big pot of money that sometimes we see counties and cities fight over. I mean, is there a tension there with how that formula works?
That's been pretty much resolved, that formula.
Except for Fernley, right?
That's been pretty much resolved, that formula. It was resolved a couple of sessions ago by Assemblywoman, now Commissioner Kirkpatrick, who really took the lead on that. But yeah, the property tax has been an issue because of the nature of the formula we have in Nevada, which is we're the only state that has a formula like the one we do in Nevada. When the recession hit, those revenues really took a dive and weren't able to come back up. And so,
because of the 2005 property tax cap?
Because of the formula for the cap, yes, as well as the fact that we have depreciation in our Constitution. We're the only state
that doesn't reset up on sale.
We're the only state that has that. And right, so we've got counties that we looked at numbers from 2010 to 2007 to 2017, and we looked at county general fund revenues, which are mainly property taxes and C-tax. And for our two largest counties, those are virtually flat. So as populations increase, as cost of, you know, providing services increase, we've got revenues that are basically flat for some of our counties. Now, some are doing better. You know, we have counties that benefit from the net proceeds of minerals. But it really...
Are those the counties that seem to have the most flush coffers? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I'm an Elko kid, and most of the mining activity occurred in Eureka and Lander County. although Elko got a lot of the population, a lot of the infrastructure challenges. But they always seemed, I mean, I remember Eureka, I think, had like one of the first rubberized tracks in the state, you know, beautiful swimming pool.
Rubberized track. Oh, for running.
Yeah, for running.
Some of those counties really benefit, Lander and Eureka. Of course, every county benefits that has a mine from net proceeds. But for example, Humboldt County and Elko County, which receive a lot of net proceeds, still Humboldt County's general fund revenues have been negative for the last few years, and Elko County's as well have been pretty much flat. And Elko County has been really struggling, actually, because of some increased services that they had to provide related to emergency response. So just even some of those counties that receive a lot of net proceeds have been struggling because of the breadth of services that counties provide and the other limited sources of revenue. So
when you look at, you know, having rural counties, one of the biggest issues I know in rural Nevada is public lands. Is that also a big issue for NACO? Is that something you guys spend a lot of time on?
It is. It's something we work on. It's a big concern for a lot of our rural counties, or a big issue that they work on, but our urban counties as well. And basically, because Nevada is the state with the most public lands, over 85%, I believe, it really affects...
Owned by the feds, yeah.
Yeah, so what that means is BLM, U.S. Forest Service, a lot of military... We also have the most military lands in Nevada, which some folks don't know. So it affects counties in every way across the board. What a lot of folks don't know is that counties actually provide services on public lands. So not only are they that jumping off point for recreators who go on our public lands and all the services that those folks may require, but in those communities... So if you've got a county that's over, say, 98% public lands, which we have some of them, they're providing emergency response. They're paving and maintaining, or maintaining, not necessarily paving, some of the roads in those counties, and providing some law enforcement. So there's some significant services that counties are actually the ones providing on our public lands, as well as a lot of county infrastructure is on public land, so they're depending on the BLM for right-of-ways. Economic development, of course, is impacted by our public lands. That's why every county has had or is looking at a lands bill.
Sure.
SNPLMA being the one that everyone is the most familiar with, so that...
Southern Nevada Public Lands Act.
Yeah, because most of our communities are surrounded so closely by BLM and sometimes Forest Service land.
You actually need an act of Congress to
you
grow.
You do, to be able to dispose of some of those lands, even if they're lands that, you know, don't necessarily have any important
Amade
habitat.
Congressman Amade and I know Dean Heller before, I mean, have always, that's been something that they've really put a lot of focus in is, you know, lands bills.
I'll tell you what, a lot of our lands bills have been bipartisan. Over the years, because our Senator Reed was the one that shepherded SNPLMA through, or was a big part of that. And so I think our delegation has always recognized the importance of sort of sorting out some of those public lands things for not just economic development, but for the basic services that our communities need. I mean, Washoe County's lands bill right now, their draft, I don't want to get into that, but I know they have some sites for schools, right? So it's an infrastructure and a public services issue as much as it is economic development. And then, of course, it impacts our county's tax base. So for those counties, I think Nye County has
over... We can get into the PILT later.
Okay.
It's payment in lieu of taxes. Hey, Dagny, thank you so much for coming on.
Sure,
really
thing.
Appreciate this.
It was my pleasure.
And hope to have you on again soon. We're going to be right back with our Power Pundit panel next on Nevada Newsmakers.
We already know NV Energy is lying. But did you know NV Energy has been cheating, too? NV Energy's own documents show it overcharged Nevadans by $346 million, even overcharging our schools, and then handed millions in bonuses to top executives, a scheme even the Public Utilities Commission called excessive. Now, NV Energy has launched a $30 million no-on-three scare campaign, all so they can continue to raise your rates. Lying, cheating, scheming. Imagine what else they have in store.
Dean Heller made a promise to Nevada.
I cannot support a piece of legislation that takes insurance away from hundreds of thousands of Nevadans.
But when Donald Trump threatened Dean Heller, he caved. Here's what that means to Nevada.
In 2003, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Under Dean Heller's plan, I could be denied coverage.
I was 45 years old and I had a stroke. I would have been in debt for the rest of my life.
As long as Dean Heller is in office, I am afraid.
SMP is responsible for the content of this ad.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here with our Power Pundit panel. We have Jill Derby. Jill, remind me of your title. Are
you former chair of the Nevada Democratic Party will do.
That works. All right. Then we have my former professor, political science, University of Nevada, Eric Herzig. And then we have Dolly Gibson with Planned Parenthood. Hey, thank you for all coming on the show today.
Sure.
I know I'm the only like Trump guy on the panel today, so I mean it'll be kind of fun to get some reaction from folks. Donald Trump coming to Elko on Saturday.
Yeah,
you know, all about driving out the turnout. And I know you kind of, this is close to you because in 2006 when you were running against Dean Heller, President Bush brought Air Force One out there. Do you think it's going to have the same effect to drive up that rural turnout as it did with WN06?
Well, here's the thing. We're not going to know this till November 6th because it will drive out some turnout, but it will also drive out the opposition because there's tremendous opposition and a base in the Democratic Party that's absolutely galvanized, and particularly women and also independent women, by the way. And so I think it will have the effect of driving out the opposition turnout just as well, or I would say better.
Eric?
He's preaching to a small and already convinced choir. I mean, I agree with you that it will drive turnout in the rural areas. You're gonna get some, I only halfway agree with you. You're gonna get the opposition backlash, but not really out in the rural counties. This is more, I'm showing the flag, I'm with Dean. It does though, rather than the opposition pushback, it sure reinforces that one ad the Democrats are running that basically shows Heller going, if he wants to keep his Senate seat, he's with me.
Yeah.
Well, hey, he did help him in the primary, right? I mean, just the power of one tweet, right? Dahlia, what are your thoughts about Donald Trump and Elko this weekend?
I agree with both Jill and Dr. Herzig. It's a small choir. I think it will push opposition. I think that there's also a lot of people who are upset in Elko who are normally his base that are upset about the opening up of part of the Ruby Mountains to potential drilling. Sportsmen, I know, are also upset out there a bit. So who knows? I mean, they might let that go. But I know that there is a little bit of pushback against Senator Heller for that.
Well, I don't think anybody wants to drill, you know, in like the pristine areas, the rubies. I mean, I'm an Elko kid,
so
I mean,
I know that.
I know that for a fact. I mean, honestly, I would not be shocked if you have the environmentalists that are the ones that put that application in just to kind of drive that conversation. So, I mean,
well, there's been surveying happening.
You know, it's interesting just the geology out there. There's not oil, you know, in the rubies or in the pristine areas that people are talking about. So, I mean, it's just kind of, I think it's part of a ruse. But, hey, once again, that's the Elko in me. How close do you think this election is going to be here in the Silver State? And does that, you know, increased rural turnout, do you think that can make the difference in the gubernatorial race or in the Senate race?
Well, I mean, it's always there. You know, the rurals tend to turn out pretty well anyway. It's my experience of them. And I think it will heighten the rural turnout, and I think it'll make a difference. But, you know, given how close our registration is and how really galvanized the Democratic base is and have been hard at work in terms of voter registration, voter identification. It's all about turnout. We know it's all about turnout. There's an awful lot of work going on all over the place, including rural Douglas, by the way.
The rural base, Republican base, is going to turn out no matter what. They always do. I don't know that you're going to milk that much more out of it, but it's got to be there. This election basically is, it's all on the Democrats. I mean, if they can't get their base out, then I don't know what else will. And so it's like, it's time to put up or shut up, whatever cliche you want to use. And we will find out in November.
Yep. I agree.
So there was an Emerson poll released today, and I mean, I give this, you know, poll kind of a grain of salt, because in 2016, their last poll said, you know, Hillary Clinton's on to a decisive Electoral College victory, and Democrats are going to get, you know, more than 50 votes in the Senate. But they did come out with a poll today, and it said Dean Heller is up 9 points, so it's like a 7-point lead today over Jackie Rosen, 47-41. Now, you know, grain of salt with polling. But a lot of folks are talking about the Kavanaugh effect and how it's helped galvanize Republicans. Are you seeing any of that?
You know, the interesting thing, though, is a CNN poll that's been a day or two old now, because, you know, Mitch McConnell is talking about this has just made a seismic difference, really, and in terms of driving a Republican turnout. I think it's blowing smoke a bit. The CNN poll was showing that if there was an immediate bounce, it seems to have diminished. And still, if you look at the numbers in their poll, it looks like that the outrage among Democrats and women, progressives, around what happened with the Kavanaugh nomination is still a strong driver of people to the polls.
Eric, Delia, I'm going to start with you next time, but Eric, I'm going to end with you.
I'm not surprised that the poll now shows Heller winning, where before they've all been close. The attack on Rosen has just been withering, and I don't think she's going to survive that. She had so many kind of unknowns, her people didn't know her, and the attack ads have defined her, and I think that's a real problem for her. The only kind of silver lining for the Democrats, it's still not over 50%.
All right, and we're going to leave it there, and we'll come back and continue this conversation tomorrow. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Tomorrow I'll be here with Stacy Ward with the Reno Police Department to talk about the drug problem in the biggest little city, plus our Power Pundit panel. Thanks for watching and listening, and Godspeed to Sam Shadd.